Thank you for the double introduction, Simon. And thanks to Anne for inviting me along. It's been a really interesting couple of days. I have to admit, when I was first asked to talk about strategies for developing social media, I thought I could roll out what I normally talk about, which is I normally invite to talk about social media to people who don't know what social media is. And I think I'm preaching to the converted in this audience. So I've very quickly changed what I'm going to be talking about. I'm actually going to be talking a little bit about my own social media practice, and then actually throwing some questions that I think have started to be raised this afternoon and yesterday, but I think we need to talk about them a bit more in a more informal discussion environment rather than me just preaching at you. As Simon said, I'm from the Centre for Digital Humanities, and actually we seem to be quite ahead of the curve in terms of using social media, not researching it, but actually using it as a tool for getting our own research out there. And one of the things I wanted to first look at is the idea of digital resident and digital visitors. Now, this is something that David White, I think he's from the University of Oxford, suggested that these terms should replace the idea of a digital native and digital immigrants, because actually they're not really suitable. So the idea of a digital resident is and it makes a distinction between people who choose to integrate their online activity into their working life to a high degree, and residents live a proportion of their life online all the time, and it's blurred between real life or away from keyboard and at keyboard. And compares that to a digital visitor, who are people who choose to use technology for selective short-term activities and then log off. So they've got defined goals and tasks. For me personally, I'm a digital resident, and I think the same is true for the majority of people who work at UCL Centre for Digital Humanities. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about actually what I do. And for me, using social media in my research, in every part of the research cycle, has enabled me to enhance my research capacity, has improved the quality of my work through it's quicker, it's easier to find information that I need to use and to disseminate that information. It's also a key communication network. Also, I'm a PhD student. I was speaking to Anne earlier today. She didn't think I was, because of the amount of work that I talk about online. And because I'm using social media as a way to get my ideas out there, people know who I am, and I haven't even got my doctorate yet, which I think is an important point to note. One of the ways that I get my work out there is through my blog. Now, as an early career researcher, this is my main form of dissemination, and it acts as a research log for my PhD, for my research interests, for my papers, for my conference talks, but also to just get random ideas out there and put them down on paper, because writing is important when you're a PhD student. And one important point to note here, I know it's not all about the numbers, but I have 10 actual publications that go out to, I don't know, maybe 150 people. I have an annual readership of 25,000 on that blog. So getting my work out there to a large area network of people. I also use Twitter an awful lot, and it's making data easier to share, verify and reuse, and talking about other people's work and how you can work with that and talk about it in a nice environment. Also for network discoveries, and also filters and an ability to discuss things with a wider network. It's also connected my research to the real world, and it's provided an opportunity to identify and communicate with other researchers in my area who I don't necessarily know in real life, but actually I can talk about the same. I've got a lot of contacts in Australia through Twitter who are doing similar things to me, which is on digital technology and museums. So it's broadened the reach and discussions through that. Something I also wanted to latch on that Adam mentioned was the idea of value, and that social media is just for the young. You may have noticed I am young. However, my supervisor is technically still young, but this is Professor Melissa Terrace. She's an avid user of social media. She's the one who's instigating social media projects and ideas and is advocating for its use in general academic practice. I'm going to talk you through an example that she experimented with using Twitter and her own open access articles. So, this is the monthly download counts of the top papers from UCL's repository. Just to highlight, there are three on there that aren't Mel. The remaining ones are. So the experiment that she did was, okay, she uploaded all of her journal articles onto the UCL Open Access repository, and then she tweeted about them. Now, I don't know if you can see the spikes there. Every time she tweeted about, hey, I put my journal article online, you can now access it, spikes occurred. Now, I think it might sound a little silly, but actually that showcases what Twitter can do about getting your research out there. Just to focus in a little bit more, this is from the top journal article. It's called Digital Curiosities. She put it live on, is that the 14th of October? Before she tweeted it, there was two downloads. She then tweeted it, which was on a Friday. She got 140 downloads. Then comes the weekend. Then she retweeted again, just for the laughs, on Monday. Again, got 140 downloads. She doesn't know what actually happened on the 24th of October. Maybe somebody blogged about it, maybe somebody retweeted it, but another 80 downloads. 535 downloads in total, when if she didn't tell anyone about it, there was two. So just kind of highlighting that if you actually tell people about your research, people are going to look at your research. Well, not necessarily they're going to download it. Doesn't know, you have, just to qualify that, you don't actually know whether people have read it, but you would like to assume so. Okay. So I think we were all throughout today in our own practice, we are aware that social media can offer a space to engage potential audiences and stakeholders and research partners. We all know that funding bodies and peer organisations are now starting to look at social media activity and look for quantifiable measures that you have to include in that. The REF now looks at impact. Social media can play a part in that. It can also help measure broader interests in your own research activities. And it also allows you to be transparent and highlights your research activity. But what I actually really want to focus on are some of the challenges and issues that have come out of the social media workshop that we had at UCL about social media in the museum, and also things that we've come out of discussion today and yesterday, which is about audience, impact, and reach. I'm going to also add value in there, because I think these are things that we need to talk about. Some of the things that I think are important to note is that we need to start thinking about, and this is for communicating in any medium, right? And I mean, I have to hold my hands up. I'm a public engagement nerd. So I'm focusing on social media as a tool for public engagement, not for broadcast, for engagement. They are very different things. And it's something that we do need to talk about that hasn't been talked about enough today is, who is your audience? Why are you using social media? What are you doing it for, and when are you gonna do it? Now, these are important things to think about. And from that, I've also got a number of questions that I'm going to throw out to you that I think are important that we do discuss. Is how do we actually start these types of conversations with non-experts in such a way that they feel that that it's appropriate and that they can contribute? We mentioned earlier about archiving. What are the effective ways to collect, analyse and archive social media? Because particularly for personal archives, it's a sticky issue. How do we evaluate the impact of social media? And how do we actually deal with the digital divide? And again, I'm going to add value in there. Is actually using social media as a research tool or as a research area in itself valuable? And I'm going to throw that out. Thank you.
Okay.